Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
To a conversation about common sense today on the program we call What's On Your Mind. Is common sense on your mind? It's on my mind today.
I have a headache.
You do? From common sense?
Oh, my God. You try to introduce common sense into this world? Really?
That's going to give you a headache, huh?
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, maybe I'm naive. Maybe
no, I'm going to go with hopeful.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I'm going to go with optimistic.
This is What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains, and we appreciate you listening, whether it's at 550 KFIRE or AM 1100 The Flag or 1090 KTGO, 1460 Dickinson's KLTC, wherever you're listening today. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for being here. A couple of guests on the program today. We'll give you a preview of that. We're going to review the recently completed legislative assembly with two of the leaders, House Leader, the Majority Leader in the House, Al Carlson, Republican from Fargo, and Senator Rich Warner, the Majority Leader in the Senate, Republican from Dickinson, East, West, House, Senate, and we'll hear from both of them today on the program coming up. Al will join us at the bottom of this hour and Rich bottom of next hour, so get your questions or comments ready for that. Here's my common sense question, all right? I think a lot of folks around the state have been following the trial of a West Fargo teacher accused of having sex with a 17-year-old student in 2009. He was the 2014 North Dakota Teacher of the Year. And as part of testimony in the trial, prosecutors presented evidence of 93 calls between the teacher and the student in late 2008 and early 2009. An analyst found 5 calls between 60 and 120 minutes long and 3 calls that were more than 120 minutes long. They found 23 calls between the student and the teacher after 10 p.m., 6 after midnight, including one 240-minute call. The teacher testified that he was talking with a student on the phone about problems she was having in her personal life. Now, a couple of issues here. And this is where the common sense comes in. Common sense to me says that is conduct unbecoming of a teacher. To be having that level of dialogue with a student. And there were texts and calls all hours of the day and night and very lengthy. Very lengthy and very many in number. Okay? So am I right or wrong that common sense says that was conduct unbecoming a teacher. I want to ask parents in our audience, do you think it's appropriate for that level of conduct to happen? Now, evidently, from what we've learned so far in the trial, because the trial's a bit of a mess if you haven't heard, but there's talk of a mistrial. There was evidently one juror that was holding out for a guilty verdict. The other jurors were not guilty. However, she didn't reveal information that she had been sexually abused in the pretrial investigation or the jury interviews. So there's the potential now for a mistrial. We know, I'm not sure how we know, but 3 of the 5 counts, all but one were, or wait a minute, 3 of 5 counts, there were not guilty votes. And I guess the debate over the other 2 counts and all this is being taken into legal proceedings now. They call them briefs, a briefing back and forth on what should happen. Scenario, either a mistrial and or an acquittal, should this teacher get his job back? Knowing what we know now. And evidently, and this is something I think all of us ought to spend some time learning a little bit about now, there are no policies in place in the West Fargo Public School District, and by the way, other school districts, I formed a story about Fargo and West Fargo and even Moorhead and their policies. So my suggestion to wherever you're listening, you know, to the parents here, find out what the level of. But to me, let's take this gentleman at his word, this teacher, that this girl was having some issues. It's all upon him now to help her with her issues and to talk all hours of the day and night for hours and hours? No, that's not appropriate. I mean, I think this, if in fact this happened, it probably happened because there were not better protocols in place limiting the amount of communication between a teacher and a student. And at a bare minimum, the dialogue ought to be, you know, during the school day, number one, or, you know, some reasonable hours outside that, you know, okay, I got home and I can't find my book or my study guide. I need to know, you know, this, that, or the other thing. Something related to school I would think would be, again, common sense. And number two, some appropriate hours for it. If you have it at all. I'm not sure you should have it at all. Isn't a school day enough to have that conversation? Because, again, I think some of whatever's happened here, and I'll be judge and jury for a moment. Looks to me like something happened here. But there was not the forensic evidence to be able to prove it, and so this individual will be found not guilty. It looks like. At least he has on three of the five counts. But I, as a parent, wouldn't want that teacher back in the school, would you? What should the school district do, number one? And number two, what should the proper dialogue be between parents between teachers and students? This particular case brings those two issues to the forefront, and I want to know what you think. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Common sense says to me, teacher, student shouldn't be having this level of conversation. Hundreds of calls, you know, all hours of the day and night, very long, texting back and forth. Is that fair to call that common sense, Todd? Or is your head hurting again?
No, I think it's fair.
And is it fair to say as a parent, I'm not sure I'd want that teacher back in the school. I think that, in other words, okay, yes, not guilty according to a court of law and all of the standards necessary there of the accusations of sex with the student, but guilty of very poor judgment and a very inappropriate relationship between the teacher and the student. To me, that says the school would be perfectly within their rights to say, sorry, nada. I'll bet anything the teachers union would defend this fellow, however. But to me, common sense says this is inappropriate. This doesn't work. I noticed this story has been like trending as one of the most watched stories in the Bismarck Tribune. So a lot of people are statewide are paying attention to it for obvious reasons.
Hopefully teachers are being taught careful what you do here, folks. Don't put yourself in this position in the first place.
Yeah, well, were I a teacher with a student that came with an issue, I'd immediately get others involved, right? The counselor or
right.
Others, just to say, let's get some more folks involved in this. Adam in Fargo, what's your take? You're up at 800-228-0550. I didn't say the numbers, but I meant to because I do want your take on this. To challenge my common sense or give me your two cents. Either way, 800-228-0550. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, so it's just a quick thought on the topic that I think we need less rules and policies and more of a just please tell the teacher you're discouraged from doing this. And plus, we also need to look at the parental oversight of the kid, where how do you really, really come at this aside from saying that the parents gave her a telephone. The parents trusted her to know what to do with that telephone. So I'd like to say that there's some onus of responsibility on the parent instead of just saying it's all the teacher. I agree that it should just be encouraged to the teacher. Please don't be fraternizing with your students that much. So that's just my thing. Having not been a parent, not being a parent, I'm not in the best position to make comments on how people should parent, but it's just my thought that there's some burden of responsibility on the parents that seems to be getting overlooked. Because I haven't heard it mentioned that parents did this, parents tried to discourage this, parents were paying attention to what the child was doing. So that I think is being overlooked.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt, I don't disagree with you that there's some role there. Now, evidently, this girl's father committed suicide, so she had some personal issues, and that was one of the reasons that, you know, he was alleging that he was helping her. But others have said, well, that made her a vulnerable student as well, and he preyed on that, obviously. So depending on what side you're on there. My worry here is when you say less rules and policies and just common sense for the teachers, right now the West Fargo School District probably legally will be advised to hire this person back because there was no hard, fast rule on communication. They can't point to a policy that says you can't communicate with a student 93 times over a half a year or whatever and talk for 2 hours at a time and after midnight. And they can't point to that. So that's one of the reasons I think maybe we need rules and policies that are a little clearer on that. Let's see. Scott, Stark County, Tom and Fargo, we'll get you in here as well. Legislative leaders coming up. Lots to cover today on What's on Your Mind. Have at it, folks, at 800-228-0550. Stay tuned. You're
listening to the program that asks a very important question. Every day, what's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
You need a truck? S&S Motors, Watford City's the place. Brent Sanford and his team at S&S Motors are the best. I love my new Ford F-150. Tell you what, did I save a pile? And you can too at S&S Motors in Watford City. Call them at 701-444-2341. And if you need a new truck, they'll find it for you. Whatever you want, whatever make, model, and they'll have it delivered. It's a great deal. 701-444-2341. S&S Motors, Watford City. Or stop and see them at 1204 4th Avenue Northeast in Watford City. You're going to love them.
First International Bank and Trust knows that dreams make life worth living. So let's dream. Let's worry less about money. Let's have more moments being in the moment. Let's live first. With free checking and convenient online and mobile banking, you can focus on things that money can't buy.
Happy birthday!
Open an account today at livefirstmobile.com. Member FDIC.
Watford City. We're not the same, we're better. We're on the edge of adventure and we're surrounded. Surrounded by rivers for canoeing, the legendary Lake Sakakawea for fishing, and pristine grasslands for everything in between. We're wide open spaces and an invitation to explore. We're the majestic badlands of Theodore Roosevelt National Park and the beginning of the rugged 100-mile Mataje Trail. We're hiking, biking, horseback riding, and camping underneath the stars. We're Watford City, and we're time out for family fun. We're rib fest and street dances, high school football games, and rodeos at the county fair. We're Watford City, a hometown and a destination. We're the West at its best, because some things never change. Come see for yourself, or find out more at voicesofwatford.com. That's voicesofwatford.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Good morning. Hey, if you're a truck driver and you get DUI and lose your license, you don't get your job back. If you're a banker and get caught embezzling a bunch of money and get fired, you don't get your job back. If you're a doctor and you have a bunch of malpractice suits against you and you, heaven forbid, kill somebody, you don't get your job back. Now, if you're this guy, this teacher, and you've got involved with activities like this with one of your students who isn't even of age, you don't get your job back. And if the people that do give you your job back, if they do, I mean, they don't have any common sense. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Give the guy his job back. Yeah, right. Thanks.
I hear you. I share your frustration. I guarantee you there's a debate going on about that right now. I guarantee you there are folks spoiling for a fight to make sure he does get his job back. I kid you not. That's why I'm raising the question. 800-228-0550, brought to you in part today by the North Dakota Petroleum Council. And it's spring. There's a whole host of Pick Up the Patch events going on all across the great state of North Dakota. Check it out at NorthDakotaOilCan.com, NorthDakotaOilCan.com. All right, Scott, in Stark County, what's on your mind?
Well, we're in Stark County. We're going through this thing with this NextEra Wind Project. It's gone through the Zoning Commission and got approved there, and now we're trying to fight it off at the commissioner's level. I just want to make some points here. I mean, we're not against wind, but when you surround three communities with this wind project, it's going to hinder our views of the countryside and whatnot. It just makes no sense. And another thing is the wind energy is fine, but there is no viable way to store it. Wind energy is only good when the wind is blowing, which, yeah, in North Dakota it blows all the time, but it does not decrease. I mean, it does not increase the amount of energy that is produced. What it does is backs down the coal plants and power plants and whatnot across the states, and therefore makes them run more inefficiently, producing more greenhouse gas than if they were, you know, running at full bore. And, I mean, these towers are 433 feet tall, and for anybody to say it's not going to hinder your views or your anything along Old Highway 10 running in between, like, Richardson and Gladstone, where they're proposed, and surrounding three communities, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, well, I'm amazed that I don't hear that debate more, because you hear about, obviously, oil development, and that concerns some folks. And yep. you hear about, a strip mining of coal. Of course, in the case of coal, you know, you've got reclamation, so you can't even tell when they put it back. In the case of oil, after the drilling and the derrick the fracking operations are gone, you have some small pumpers there that certainly are much smaller footprint than the wind turbines. But the wind turbines are considered green, you don't often hear the argument you're talking about, Scott. So it's interesting. We'll dig into that a little bit and maybe invite both sides of that issue to come on the program since that is in the approval process. Appreciate the call, and you checking in with your points on it, though. Thanks. Tom in Fargo, what's on your mind?
Hi. You know, it goes back to the – you're right about the common sense on the teacher. Unfortunately, there's I lost my train of thought. But he should have had a clearer understanding. And could he have just been that gullible that he really thought he was doing the right thing and thought this might not end up where it ended up? I mean, it's
Should he get his job back, Tom?
No. I think that
if he's clear to the charges,
I know if he he gets clear to the charges, but there's for what's happening in the world with kids, adults, especially teachers. If he gets his job back, he shouldn't be a teacher. He should be. I think he should find a different line of work. That probably shouldn't involve kids. Just in case.
Do you think that there ought to be stricter rules governing communication between teacher and student?
Yes. I mean, he could have. There should have been more people involved. He should have realized that maybe the student really has problems. He should have brought in more people, and I believe you had said that before the break. He should have involved more people.
Yeah, if his intent was to help this young lady through a troubling time, you get more people involved. You don't. But getting more people involved, is going to get more people aware of what's going on. And that obviously was counter, in my mind, was counter to that would have caused him some problems.
Right. It puts himself in a compromising situation. It's just like any time now. It's a married man with an unmarried woman. It's the same thing. You put yourself in a compromising situation where you have the best of intentions, but something goes awry, and it's even worse with kids.
Yeah, that's why I think the rules have to be so hard and fast on governing communication between a student and teacher, because it'll prevent situations like this from getting out of control. Appreciate your call, Tom. Thanks. Great thoughts on this today from all. Brian and Jamestown, your take?
Hey, my take is that you have an influential adult that works in the school system, and we're teaching our children to trust these people, with lack of our judgment at that time. So I think what the guy did was an absolutely rotten thing. And if anybody's doubting whether he was in the right or the wrong, imagine yourself trying to explain to the parents of a child this whole situation. And if it makes you feel stupid or embarrassed, his intentions are not what they say that what he said they were. I believe this guy was pretty close to being a sexual predator, and he should be labeled that way. I don't think we need a whole bunch of new rules or policy within the school system. And, just have him come out and explain it, If you think you sound stupid, it probably is stupid, And you're the closest thing to a trusted adult that a kid knows, and to abuse that trust like that, I mean, it's a discredit to the people who work in the school system. If they hire this guy back on, then I think people are going to start trusting their judgment a little bit less as well.
Appreciate the call, Brian. Thank you very much. Going to a break here. We'll continue this conversation as we go throughout the morning. Hey, I want to tell you about my friends at Polar Service Center for a moment. Have you ever noticed how many Polar tank trailers are on the road? They're everywhere. And that's because my friends at Polar Tank Trailers are America's number one tank trailer manufacturer. They're also the leader in service with 30 Polar Service locations in the U.S., Kildare, North Dakota, Billings, Montana, in our neck of the woods, soon in Williston. And they have that R-Stamp certification from the National Board of Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspectors and a commitment to safety unmatched in the industry. Need a part, too. There isn't a tank part that Polar Service Center doesn't have. Need a tank wash? Tell them Scott sent you. Get $100 off your first wash. Polar Service Center, Kildare, or I-90, Billings. Tell them Scott sent you.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
It takes hard work and support to get a farm standing on its own 2 feet, just like it takes a solid frame to make a building last for years. Prairie Post Frame uses 28-gauge metal, laminated posts buried a full 6 feet, along with superior craftsmanship to give you the best return on your investment. Right now, they're offering a discount if you sign a contract within 30 days of receiving the quote. Prairie Post Frame, leading the industry in quality post frame construction. Call Jeff at 701-715-0352 or go to prairiepostframe.ca.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. deal. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Before the top of the hour, Monday edition of What's On Your Mind. We're going to spend a little time today reviewing the recently completed North Dakota legislative session as well today on the program, as I mentioned at the top of the show. And chat this hour with Representative Al Carlson, the House Majority Leader, and next hour with Senator Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader. Al Carlson is in the house. Al, nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Scott.
So you had a couple of days to breathe after the session wrapped up on Wednesday. What are your thoughts?
You know, it was a good session. It was just nice to have a few days off to kind of decompress because it's pretty intense out there in the end. And this session was especially intense because every day we watched the money go down and the needs didn't go away. So we had to figure out how to balance this whole thing out. And it became, we did a lot of great things policy-wise, but it became dominated by the money.
A few decades ago, of course, there was not any money to spend, so there was always a battle for resources. Last stretch has been one of great prosperity in North Dakota, and almost too much money, right? And then everybody's got their hand in the till, so to speak. So it was different in the sense that you really didn't know what you had to deal with, and the numbers were changing rapidly, right?
Well, when you have $5 billion disappear that you anticipated getting from oil revenue that's not there. And that doesn't count the sales tax and the income tax and all the other taxes that goes with it. That's just plain dollars because of oil. And $1 billion reduction just because of the price of oil, not taking into account any of the triggers, any of the other things we have in place. So it was a challenging session. We ended up with the smallest growth in government in the last three bienniums. 9.4% for 2 years, that's less than 5% a year. And basically 3% of that is already built in cost to continue with your salaries and your health insurance and those kind of things. So a 2% growth is pretty darn good for government. It probably should have been there before, but boy, it's hard to say no when the money's laying there. We've tried hard to stop that train. The future is what you got to be careful about. We were really smart, Scott. We set aside money for the SIF fund, the investment fund. We set money aside for water projects. We set money aside for disaster relief. We set money aside for property tax relief. And we did that in 13-15 biennium. But the 15-17, that money's probably not going to be there because the way we've laid the buckets out with oil revenue, if those prices stay down, it's not going to be full.
If you have a question or comment for Al, they're certainly welcome today on the program at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or your email is welcome, studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. One of the arguments in the past for reforming the oil tax was that we needed to be careful in North Dakota to avoid the pitfalls that other oil-producing states have happened, and that is get too addicted to the oil revenue to enable a lot of spending when it's a commodity that can go up and down. Are we?
Now, you know, we only allow $300 million of the oil money to go into flow into the general fund. And the general fund is what operates government day to day to day to day and puts the lights on in all the buildings and pays for all the people. So we were smart in that we only limited to $300 million. What we did have is a lot of one-time spending. And obviously, the $5 billion over the last three bienniums has gone out west. A billion, that's with a B, was a great investment because that infrastructure was stressed beyond the point of being able to handle it. So we needed to do that. What's going to change in the future, Scott, is there's not going to be as much of that one-time money available. So we're going to have to do what we can to fund those kind of things with the money available in the next biennium. Now, who knows? Oil could switch around, could go back to $80, $90, $100. Or it could go to $30. I don't think there's any prognosticator in the world that can guess that for you. But I tell you, the triggers that were in the law that we got rid of this session, a lot of carping on the part of the Democrats. You know, we're giving away all this future revenue. But these triggers were, say, 5 months below 5509, and your tax goes from 6.5% extraction to zero. That takes a tremendous toll. They never count about the downside of the money you could lose because of the fact that the rates are so low. So we ended up with a tax rate at the first of the year that's going to be total of 10%, 5 extraction, 5 production. And we think that's good for the long-term stability of the industry and the long-term stability of the revenue of the state.
The session ended in a bit of a bizarre way in that there was a difference of opinion over one piece of legislation related to the health insurance for state employees. And this is an issue the House obviously waded into fairly early on after the decision by the PERS board to switch providers for the health insurance for state employees. Go back to the beginning on that issue for us and explain why the House was concerned about this change.
Well, the House and the legislature, by the way, Scott's only role in this whole thing has always been just to fund health insurance. And we have a very rich plan for our state employees. It's 100% paid. The deductibles and the co-pays are very reasonable, and it's $1,130 a month that we pay per plan for our employees. That's pretty darn good. I question whether there's any businesses around the state that are offering that kind of a plan. So we offered that, and we hear via rumors in the hallway that the PERS board, which is made up of public employees and a couple of private individuals, you got the attorney general's representative, somebody's health department, and then a private individual chairs it. And we hear they're going to switch plans, and that's fine. I mean, the bids came in $30 a month per plan less. And that's a lot of money over the biennium. We said, that's great. But all we want to make sure is that this plan that you had yesterday, as somebody carrying that card, is the same tomorrow as it was yesterday. And we don't care if it's the Blues. We don't care if it's Sanford. We just want to make sure that it's the same that the people had before. And when we started digging into it, we found out that things weren't really quite probably the same. And there was some concern on our part, Scott, that when you have a company like Sanford, and they're a good company, you know, this isn't we hate Sanford thing. But when you own the insurance provider as well as you own the hospitals, we wanted to make sure we put a bill that says there's got to be a real strong firewall between that so you're not sharing aggregated information. Not a bad thing when you think about it logically. We said that we want to make sure that you don't discount people greater in one spot than another and muscle your competition out of the market. Not a bad thing. And by the way, since you didn't have it in Fargo here, didn't have a contract with them until we got into this and put the bill in, and then they finally reached an agreement on what that would be. So we had to we passed the bill out of the House. We put a few of those amendments. The original bill was passed 82-6 in the House. It died 46-0 in the Senate. And by the way, the Senate Minority Leader, the House Minority Leader, and the House and Senate Majority Leaders were all in the bill. But when it came to the Senate, they didn't agree with what was in the bill. They saw it a little differently than we did. So we put a few things like the protection and privacy things on the PERS budget itself, passed it out of the House 82-6, sent it over to the Senate, couldn't reach an agreement in conference committee. In fact, the Senate dissolved the conference committee. So the House was done with work. We had nothing left. We couldn't reach an agreement, so we adjourned sine die. And the Senate adjourned subject to call it back to finish the bill. The logical thing to do there is to get some level heads on both sides, meet for a few days out in Bismarck, get that resolved, bring us back for one day, and pass the bill. Because it's important to me that the people have the same coverage they had before. They're expecting no different. We've had calls from retired people out of state say, what does this mean to my network provider system? Because obviously the Blues have quite a nationwide system. What does it mean to me? Am I covered? Am I not covered? Those people had those concerns legitimate, and we just wanted to make sure they were the same. Is it a big deal? It is if you're carrying a card. Most people don't even know the difference when we're all done, go home, but it's a big deal.
Mike and Dickinson for Al Carlson, our guest today on What's on Your Mind, 800-228-0550. Go ahead.
Good morning, Al. I was just curious, you know, some of these oil operators will hedge their production, and I was wondering if it's permissible by law to hedge production, if the state could hedge and just kind of keep the, you know, money more consistent on what's coming in and, you know, provide a cushion for the downturns like we've seen. Is that a possibility, Al?
Yeah, it would take a law to do that, for us to hedge that. We've had that bill in a couple times, by the way, in the legislature. And it's just like our retirement funds. When there's billions of dollars in them, we take a very conservative approach, and we do not try and put the taxpayer's dollar at risk. So we really have never gotten very far on that, because I think that that's gambling with future dollars that aren't even ours.
Huh. But it could provide some stability if we saw a downturn, couldn't it? And
Well, it could. If you hedged right, it could. If you hedged on the right side of the issue, you could also lose money on that if you hedged low and it was higher. So there's two sides to that issue. I'm not by any means a trading expert, but I don't think that the state really shouldn't be in that business when it comes to tax revenue.
Well, aren't you not necessarily going to Mike's suggestion, but you're by having the reserves you have or the budget stabilization fund that you have, you've got a protection a different way, don't you?
You know, we have almost $600 million in the budget stabilization fund. We have other funds that you can't get at. You know, 51% of the oil tax, Scott, that we collect is constitutionally locked up, whether it be foundation aid stabilization fund, the Common Schools Trust Fund, the Legacy Fund. So a large part of that money isn't even touchable, and we can't be putting those revenues at risk.
Mike, anything else?
No, thanks for your time today, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
Emailer says, is it time the legislature switches the budgeting process from basing expenditures on projections for the next biennium revenues to basing it on actual revenue collected in the previous one? This would save everyone a lot of pain by setting the state budget on what you know you have, not what you think you may get.
Well, that's a different way to explain baseline budgeting, is to start with what you had before. But you always have to speculate. Since the beginning of time, we have used some type of analytics to decide what our revenue will be. And we need to do that. Obviously, we'd like to see our economy continue to grow. But this time, we couldn't build all the buildings we did before. And in the first week of the session, Scott, there was a bill introduced called the Surge Bill. And that bill put $1.1 billion of a $1.2 billion strategic investment fund and designated it to go out in immediately. Well, it took about 3 weeks to get it out of the Senate and took 7 days to get it out of the House. And we got that bill done, and that money went. But when we did that, we emptied the table. I mean, there was less than $100 million left for other one-time type of spending in the biennium. So that created a challenge. But would I do it again? Yeah, it was the right thing to do for out west. And if you talk to those people out there, they'll tell you they put that money to good use. We changed the formula. It used to be 75-25, 75 to the state, 25 to the local subdivisions. We changed that to 70-30. Plus, we rerouted some money. If there's extra money at the end of the buckets, there'll be money that goes back in additional payments to those oil-producing counties. So it's a complicated issue, but we think we made some good progress there on the formula as well.
All right, short break. Back with another segment with our guest, Al Carlson, House Majority Leader, talking about the recently wrapped-up legislative session. Questions or comments welcome at 800-228-0550. More after this. Don't go away.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
Guarantees are hard to come by in life, but MyPillow has one. Hi, friends. I'm Scott Hinnon. I want you to sleep on the pillow I sleep on because I've never had one like it. I've never slept better. Mike Lindell is the CEO. He's been on television. You've probably seen him in those commercials, maybe heard our interview with him. He will tell you, and I believe, sleep is the most important thing to your health. And MyPillow is the most important thing for your sleep. In addition to all the testimonies you're going to hear from friends and neighbors and coworkers and others, and I've heard them, who own the world's most comfortable pillow, if you go to MyPillow.com, they have sleep facts where you can find out about all kinds of great benefits you can get from a good night's sleep and how much it'll help your overall health and well-being. So check that out at MyPillow.com. While you're there, browse. Find the great savings. Use the promo code SCOTT for a 50% off deal, 2-for-1 on the original classic pillow, MyPillow.com. Promo code SCOTT or call this number, 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028. My Pillow. Guaranteed. The most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Before the top of the hour, a Facebook message from a listener says that on the PERS issue, I don't buy this for a minute. It looks to me like the House members were in Blue Cross Blue Shield's pocket. So there's a longer email here, but I'll give you a chance to respond to that. The motivation on behalf of Blue Cross Blue Shield or on behalf of Apples to Apples coverage for state employees?
I never met with the Blues. Never once talked to them about the issue as far as where their position was, am I trying to save you or not. The point is that we were trying to get apples for apples coverage. And we were told over and over again, the amendments we put on the bill, we're already going to do that. Well, if that's the case, then we don't have any worry. Just pass the bill, put it in statute. We don't have a problem. We'll get it resolved. We'll get that figured out. It has nothing to do. For the last 7 years, everybody's had the same deductibles, the same co-pays. the bidding process. We think there should be more legislative involvement other than writing a $300 million check for the premium, and we're going to add some people to the board.
What I hear most often from the Senate folks is, look, if you did this, what the House wants to do, then you'd never be able to negotiate anything again in the state, because everybody would expect, no matter what a particular board is charged with negotiating, that it could be upended by the legislative process.
Well, they should be, because we have to have more of a role than just funding it. I mean, there isn't anything else that we would just write the check and say, get out of the way. We expect accountability on all those taxpayer dollars, because this is taxpayer dollars. You know, it isn't just money that falls from the sky and we buy somebody health insurance. This is taxpayer dollars, and it's our job to defend it. In the House, we always will.
Tell me about other issues that you think maybe didn't get the attention they should have. You know, where a lot happens in the session, and it just seems like a handful of things get a ton of attention. But
Well, record investment in K-12 funding, in K-12 education. We still put extra money in. We have a 60 mil buy down. They can charge up to 60. The state's paying the difference. We're paying over 82% of education, which is supposed to directly reflect back on your property tax bill. We got 12% direct payment on taxes. We made sure that we increased the homestead tax credit. We even, through this whole time of money being a little short, we were able to send back a 10% personal income tax reduction and a 5% corporate income tax reduction. So throughout this whole thing, we were still able to maintain a type of a tax relief package for our citizens. And that kind of got lost in the whole thing. The K-12 funding, we tweaked that formula a little bit. Those guys got an increase. We had a few schools that have lost kids that made it hard. We had to do a little work there to keep them going. But other than that, we put a lot of money into the roads. A total of $2.7 billion goes in with federal and state and general fund and SIF funding. We did a lot of money on the highways. We got a pre-K early childhood, which is very contentious, by the way. I'm not a big supporter of pre-K, but we did get it down to the children that were the low-income ones, the reduced eligibility guidelines, went down to the poverty level, make sure that those kids that really, truly need it, they can't afford it, are the ones that are eligible for those grants in the pre-K. The stabilization fund has gotten way too big, foundation aid stabilization fund. We got a measure on the ballot for the citizens. It said they can vote on it. We'll put a cap on it of 300 and some million. The rest of it can be used for school purposes. Good idea. Again, higher ed did well. We had sex trafficking. I mean, we dealt with a lot of issues to tighten those laws up. It's already illegal to do what they were doing. We just tightened up the laws quite a bit on that. We did some incentives. We really like value-added projects in the state of North Dakota, and there's a potential plastics plant and a potential fertilizer plant that are coming based off the natural gas that we produce, and that's the biggest problem we have is flaring gas. So we gave them, if you get these things going, Scott, we're going to give you sales tax exemptions on building the plants. Corporate farming, opening it up to hog and dairy, that was a hot issue, not so much for the urban folks, but the rural folks. We restructured the oil tax, obviously, with the 10% rate. We dealt with the PERS thing and oil safety. We made sure some of us had a real problem with it's an interstate commerce activity. The feds already have a tremendous amount of people working on it. We did add a couple of people up there. Plus, we added some significant training that we mandated on the railroads to be able to do to all of our first responders along the rail lines. Another really good thing, the civics bill. You know, you got to have passed the civics test.
That was early. Things. I almost forgot about that one.
The
yeah.
Civics test was a good one.
And, the nation.
That was a great thing. Yeah. You know, they should know a little bit about our government and our country.
Let me squeeze in one more call here. Joe and Bismarck, quickly, your question for Al Carlson.
Yeah, I was going to mention, Al, that you guys are actually doing a really good job with the health care insurance. I worked in the industry for 25 years, and we took the business in a number of states, Blue Cross. And it's actually been a lot less stress here on unseating Blue Cross than it has in other states. So it's actually done a nice job at that. And holding them accountable, the new carrier, to make sure that it's equitable, that does make sense. So nice job. But I will mention one thing that, you know, with the health employees, 100% of the contribution, you're right. Nobody in the private sector does that anymore. That actually should be looked at because that benefit is actually too rich. That should be coming down to be more competitive with the constituents that actually pay for those salaries. So I'll let you go from there.
Well, the only comment I have at that is that years ago we traded away salaries for full health insurance, and now we've brought our salaries way up. done a lot of equitable funding there, and we got to take a look at that. Second Amendment didn't get left behind. We did some gun rights things and right to carry things that were good. The mental health and behavior health, we know that this needs a lot of work. We've started programs. We're working our way into that to figure out how we handle these drug and mental health issues.
Obviously a busy session and a good recap of everything that happened. Al, thanks for the update. Good to see you.
Only one last thing. The Outdoor Heritage Fund did survive. 8%, $40 million for you guys that love the great outdoors.
All right. We all do. Al Carlson, thank you.
On agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants that made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state. Your future. Your Farm Bureau.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone
at 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.